If you're going to build from the bottom up, it's like building a building. You've got to build good foundations. And what you throw into your foundations will determine the height and the shape of the building. It's obvious what shape this building is because the foundations are giving it its shape. You can't build a circular building on a square foundation. It's not going to work. And truth is, some engineers around here, the deeper your foundations and the more of the right mix you put in, sometimes you've got to put steel in, the higher you can build your building. It gives the building the ability to do what the building needs to do in its specific environment. So that's crucial. Values are crucial foundational ingredients for our relationships. And most people never think about values. You know, you go into a building, these are our values. We're going to steal all your money and we're not going to give you really what you want. They don't say that, do they? They say, we're going to give you the best price, the best product. And if you have any complaints, please phone us and we'll sort you out straight away. Bunch of liars. True story. And this is our vision and all that sort of stuff. But values are things we have to really think about. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, because if we get this right, I actually don't have to do any more. This is one of the most crucial things, I believe. You know, when God sent out the 12 tribes, and they crossed over into the promised land, and then they said, okay, guys, go wherever you want to go. But wherever you go, put a peg in. And that's your boundary. Don't move that boundary peg. That's yours. So if you don't have enough faith to go that far, that's fine. Doesn't matter where you want to go, but make sure you put your stake in. And there's a proverb that says, don't remove the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set. Those boundaries are a reason for us. We live well with values. They enable us, but the problem is so few of us think about it. They're like, values are like what I would say are internal guiding principles. They're unseen influences in our lives. They affect the way we think and therefore what we do. And we know that. As a man thinks, so he does. As a woman thinks, so she does. That's a reality. Values influence the type of people that we will have a relationship with or not have a relationship with. And they influence the type of activities we will or won't do. That's how powerful values are. There's lots of things that we are just doing and we just think it just happens. But the truth is we've been influenced on the inside. And our values come very often from the outside. Our values are given to us primarily by our families. So we go, well then, gee, why haven't I got these values? Because most people are very bad at passing on values. I'm going to tell you what school you should go to and what degree you should have and what you should do with your life and what you shouldn't do with your life. But as parents, we're not very good at passing on values because they're quite hard to work out. What is a value? It's like weird, you know? And so in so many ways, their values ought to be like an internal checklist. They're like a grid through which all our choices and decisions are filtered and formed. So a lot of people make a lot of decisions in their relationships, and you go, why did you make that decision? And how come you made that decision? And then years later, you look at that and you go, yeah, you shouldn't have made that decision. And so it's because we don't bring this up enough. We don't look enough at our foundations. We just think, it doesn't matter, we're just going to build a house and then we're going to put a lack of air conditioner in and then we're going to put nice wallpaper up and fancy shutters and we'll fix the garden. Da, da, da. We don't pay enough attention to the foundations. So values ought to give us clarity with what is negotiable versus what's not negotiable in our lives and relationships. That's how powerful values are. That's what they do. And they can protect us from doing the wrong things at the wrong times and having wrong relationships and making dumb decisions. That's what values can do. I'm going to ask you to do an exercise with me on this page, making it work for you. This is part of your homework. So you need to do the first part, says my values. I need you to just draw a little line in the middle, and this is going to be a quick version. So what I want you to do, okay, I don't know when you ask your partner anything, this is you have to do this, you've got 1 minute to do this, and I'm going to tell you when you can do it. I want you to write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I want you to write down 10 values of your life, Okay, you ready? It's going to count down from now. And I said you've got 1 minute, eh? And 1 minute goes so quickly. Just 10. I just want everybody to know Eugene is sweating. Don't feel pressured, man. You can do it. Okay, you got 10. Hey? How many got 10? How many got 5? Okay, let me just, before you do this, I don't want you to feel embarrassed. You don't have to respond, but this is not like a show-off thing at all, okay? It's just like, I just want to see. And I want you to see how radical this is. How many of you struggled with this? It's like, what am I supposed to think about? What is the value? And some of you, men are cheating. You're like checking your wife. And she got nothing, so you're checking the oak next door to you. It's so hard. What does this mean? Stressful, eh? And we're in relationships with people. And we haven't really thought about this stuff. How remarkable is that? And we live life, and stuff happens, and we raise children, and we change jobs, and we spend our money, and we... and we go there and we do this and we haven't, and we've got 3 and we stole them from someone else's wife. You know what I mean? You're in trouble because you are going to gym for the rest of your life in tights. So the reality is the opposite is true. If you don't have values, if we're unclear about our values, chaos and stress sets in. Do you know that one of the most stressful things in life is when you do something counter to the things you believe in? So stressful. And we wonder, why am I feeling so stressed about this choice? I mean, this decision, why am I feeling so stressed? Because there's a little value in you that has been dropped in you, and you don't know about it, but it's there. It is influencing you on the inside. It is fighting for its right to be established in your life. Isn't that incredible? In a relationship, having a common value system will help us do relationships so much better. So our values in so many ways help us find common ground in our lives and our relationships so we can develop what we call a mutual value system in our relationship. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. You're going, hey, buddy, I've been married for 30 years. First of all, I don't know how to spell values. Secondly, I'm not too sure if it's going to help. It doesn't matter what stage you're in. It is always good to clarify this stuff. Because then you can go, oh, that's why I'm doing this. That's why we're in this together. And if you're clear about it, you go, oh, yeah, I believe in that. It's not like you're going to go, oh, my gosh, I've done this whole thing wrong. Am I breathing properly? I'm doing this whole thing wrong. It's not that. You'll go, oh, that's right. That's what I believe in. But you see, we haven't got words to define these internal things. We should find words. Words define us. They're very powerful. Very powerful. In the beginning, God spoke and it became. Words are very powerful. And so we should find words in our minds for this. So how do you put together your own value system and a common value system? So always remember, we're the sum total of our parts. So go back to the wheel. And this can help you. So this is why it's helpful to have this booklet. Our values ought to reflect who we are as a whole person. That's what values are. Most people, most of you wrote down your values, you would have written character things. You know, I believe in integrity and honesty and all that. Hey, am I right? And that's cool, but I mean, hey, how much character can you have, if you know what I mean? You know? You're like so swayed on character and you're thinking, yeah, but you also want to, it must reflect your whole, you know? I'm talking to you afterwards, Bree. I might have to rewrite this book. So they must reflect your whole person. Value should be more than character attributes. We're much more than that, aren't we? Aren't we people who love laughing? Correct? Adventure? Health? Wealth? You're allowed to say you love it. It's okay. We won't, like, mark them. Tie the envelope. We're not going to do that. Of course we do. We all want to do better. Don't you want to be better in your emotions? Don't you? Isn't that a big part? It's a massive part of our lives. A massive part of our lives. No one thinks, I need to think about my values, what I want. What do I want? I'm so angry at it now. What do I want? It's very important. So take the wheel. Go to page 35 when you do this on your own. Okay? And then think about each aspect of your life and go, all right, I'm going to be serious, see for serious. Take about 30 minutes sometime in your day on your own. Breathe deeply. I'm going to think about myself. I'm going to think who I am. What is a value in the area of my sexuality? What is a value in my spirituality? What is a value in my physicality? What is a value in my physical body? In my financial world, what are those values? Come up with 10 on your own. Think about it. Think deeply. Ask these questions. Is this a value of mine? I need to find words for this. I like fun. I like fun. I like it. Then put it in. Put it in. I like adventure. Leanne and I, we love adventure. So we spend our money. We'll do everything we can to go on an adventure as often as we can. Why? Because it's important to us. It's a value. If we didn't do it, guaranteed, I would suffer. She would suffer. We would suffer. Something happens to us when we go on an adventure. Now, I don't rough it, I'll be honest. I don't mind lying under the stars as long as they're like at least 4 screwed onto the wall behind me. But adventure, we do adventure our way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe health is a very important value in your life. Then it must be there. You've got to do it. Otherwise, you ignore it, and then you ignore you, and then you make dumb decisions. Maybe not being in debt is important to you. But you're in debt. But I do believe I shouldn't be in debt. So make it a value. I want to have financial integrity. Then you nail debt. Get rid of debt. Man, you can sleep lacquer when you got no debt. You can go on an adventure. All right? True story. Can't go on an adventure if you're in debt. You're always worrying when you're going to jump out that plane on an adventure. You think, I should have paid that debt off, man. What happens if the cord snaps? We're very complex. We have all sorts of anxieties going on. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You will start thinking about everything you do better. Sure. Before you make any decision, you pull your grid up, you go. It's internal. Your little internal eyes look down at your grid and you go, okay, family is a very important value to me. So I can't just go and live in Dubai. Because the Lord said, I got to consider my family. Yeah. Very good. Are you with me?
Good. Very good advice.
That's how this works. It's so beautiful. Frees you up. What is even better is when you, as a couple, find a common value system. That's powerful. Then you're on the same page. Then you raise your kids up with those values. And they grow up and they take some of those values because they articulate. And I believe this, they are more caught than taught. Hey? That's how you do it. It's all the time. My kids know exactly what I'm doing right now. They most probably know what page I'm on right now. We're in this together. Why? Because we have family as a huge value in our lives. And we'll not do anything that'll interrupt my family. Nothing. Ministry, never. Family first. I'll fight God afterwards, but family first. And He honors that for me. So that will help you. You find a common value. But what this does, it enables you to talk. See, if you do this and you do all these things, you'll be talking about stuff you've never spoken about before. You're talking about amazing things. You start dreaming. You start thinking about things. You think, well, maybe we could do better. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Why would we keep doing that? Let's stop that. Let's think about that. Sure. So if you turn over the page, if you get this right, if we get this right in our lives, it's like, well, then everything just falls into place. But every decision we make, every single choice we make, we need to realize there is a price tag attached to it. We need to check the price tag attached to every decision we make, everything we do. The question is, are we prepared to pay the price for the decisions we make? There is a cost attached to building a great relationship. There is a cost. Something else has to be pushed aside. But which price are you prepared to pay? Everything. Jesus said this. And He's profound. Jesus is so profound. He says this. He says, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, listen to this, it bears much fruit. Wow. The price of intimacy is dying to self. Is being at war with your ego. That's the price of intimacy. So when we talk about this type of relationship of where you go, okay, well, do I lose my personality? Do I lose who I am in this? When you say, die to self. I'm not too sure if this is going to work very well for me. I like me quite a lot. What does that look like? Please explain. Well, think about it properly. Dying to self means, one, I need to choose to be selfless. Dying to self is selflessness. It's what Tim Keller said. It's thinking of myself less. It's what intimacy means. It's sharing the deepest part of your existence with someone else. It's not you. It's selflessness. The price tag is selfishness or selflessness. Which price do you pay? And the true story is, in the beginning, when God created humanity, they had this discussion in this triune war room, and they said, "Let's make man and woman in our image. Let us make them in our image." Selflessness is in our DNA. Because we were never created in the image of I. We are always made in the image of us. We are always meant for others. And our selfishness become sinful. So how, what does this dying to self mean? Because it says it bears so much fruit. It means sacrifice. That's what it means. Or maybe I'll use a better word, because sacrifice is like a hectic word. It means surrender. That's what it means. Or sacrifice, if you're going to sacrifice something, don't try and revive what you kill. Let it die there. It must stay dead. We are good revivalists. We have resurrection power in the blood. Because we resurrect selfishness quicker than you can say, Bob. That little oak comes out of that grave every 5 minutes in our lives. And then another aspect to, you know, the word surrender means to give up completely. It's like, this is very hard. Like, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, fiancé. I don't know what they call those people. You know what I mean? You mean that's a requirement. It's a non-negotiable requirement. Because marriage is not about me. Marriage is about us. Actually, marriage is about the person I'm marrying. It's about them. And then there's that other word we love to use. It's called servanthood. Die to self is serving, because serving is away from ourselves, isn't it? I want to serve you. Serving is away from ourselves. Serving is selfless. Serving is selflessness in action. That's what it is. So, but this bears much fruit. It's like quite hectic, but it bears much fruit. What do you mean? It means we grow. It means our will gets better. It means our values are richer. It means our foundations become solid. It means our roots go down into the depths of the soil of intimacy. And we grow into this magnificent tree. You know, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 3, and he prayed this prayer. He says, I pray before the Father of heaven and earth, who created everything on earth, every family, from which every family derived its name. And he went on, he said this, and I pray that your roots of your faith will go down deep into his love. That's what intimacy is. The roots of intimacy on the depths, the deepest parts of love, and love that is away from ourselves. That's what bears fruit. We grow. Our goal should be, if we have a personal growth goal, our goal should be, I want to grow from the center. I want my wheel to be better. That wheel is helpful, isn't it? So that I can, it's like, okay, I can grow. So there's space. You just have to turn 3 pages back. You go, there's a lot of room for here, buddy boy. I mean, I look at my flat wheel sometimes and I'm going, I need therapy, never mind growth. And by the way, if you do need therapy, get therapy. Grow. Go for optimal. If I had the time, I'd give you a promise of God linked to every area of your life. And then you go, that's our marker. That's what God has for me. Every single one of us. A person that isn't growing is a person that's never been challenged in life. That's a true story. You look at those strange little flowers that just pop up after the severe fire. And this little oak, he just pops up and he grows like there's nothing around. He's lucky looking, his little flower looking. No one else here, but look how beautiful I am. Because he's that little seed has been so challenged and by the robust environment, it just burst into life. That's exactly what happens in our lives. When we are challenged to the core, to the very center, it starts pushing out. Whatever is at the center pushes out. And the true story is we can all do better. And the only thing in the way of doing better is the little word M-E. Or the letter R. That's the only thing that gets in the way of growth, proper growth. So for me, growth means strap on your brave, be vulnerable and courageous. So I'm going to give you, I will mention books to read if you want to read, but I highly recommend read anything Brené Brown has written. Brené Brown. Remarkable. Remarkable. So, but are we meant to be together? You know, compatibility means the natural ability to live and work together in harmony because of well-matched characteristics. How cool is that? That's such a cool quote. And I know that wasn't my quote. That's what Leanne put in this book. She didn't like my definition of compatibility. She just stuck it in here, sneaky little thing. Harmony is such a powerful word, but it's like a word that is like a 60s word with orange thingamajigs, and it's like harmony and sweet and cool and all that. But harmony means agreeableness. It means like-mindedness. Sure. Compatibility. How come you're together, you Okies? How come you, Oz, how come you two? Work it out. I mean, it is so crazy. There are so many people on the earth. Why them? Why the person next to you? How did that work? It's crazy when you think about it, eh? I mean, you walk past everybody. And you walk straight past 7-point-something billion people to one person. How come? It is wild. Compatibility. But there's more to compatibility than meets the eye, you know? There are some things that are obvious about compatibility for people, but there's more, especially when it comes to the very things that influence our choices with a partner. They're the unseen influences when it comes to compatibility. And we don't really realize that this is happening. You are in a relationship with a person and pursuing intimacy with a person because, or should be, because of recognition. And you know what that means? I'm on page 9, by the way. Every person values recognition. And what that means, it's when your sense of worth is reinforced. You can be around 7.5 billion people, but there is one person that recognizes you, that strokes you the right way. Isn't that amazing? Just one person. And you feel like Captain Marmot. Another internal influencer of our choice of partner is psychological compatibility. That's a big word. Psychological starts with P and ends with L. Psychological compatibility. You know what psychological... I'll rewind and speak in English. Psychological compatibility is the ability to be at ease with someone where there's no need to have mind games. What's he thinking? What's she thinking? Is my fly up? Is my fly down? You know? Am I too thin? Am I not too thin? I mean, this goes on forever. And it is terrible. It's like, have I got a bogey hanging out of my nose? No, really, I am asking, have I? You're the closest. No? It's terrible. You're with someone, you're always wondering, am I good enough? Am I okay? Wonder what they're thinking. You know, am I smart enough? Am I good looking enough? Are my feet too small? Because you know what they say about small feet, eh? Hey, small shoes. Our problem is we have underestimated the power that the mind has in our bodies. And we've underestimated the power of the mind of the people around us. And the thing about the mind, and we're going to talk about that at some stage, the thing about the mind, it is so influenced by so much junk. It has shaped the way we have behaved. And so we're playing out in ways we shouldn't have to play out in our relationships. Because we've been influenced. It's very, it's powerful, and it's hard. Here's a positive thing. You can win this battle. Definitely. Psychological compatibility. The third one is being built up in your self-esteem. There is nothing better than being around people that build you up. Your sense of self-esteem. Nothing better. There's nothing worse than being around people who break you down. Who break down your self-esteem. And you know it happens in marriages all the time. But we look past it because there's other stuff that makes us compatible. And then the fourth one is uniqueness. And uniqueness are those qualities of complementary nature that we see in that person. We just like, you know, when you're children, if you're married, you've got kids, they're grown up, they start dating, they bring home their boyfriend, and you go, wow. Is this for my prayer life? You know? Are you against me? Are you trying to bribe me? What's going on here? You can just see they're not compatible. But when people are compatible, there's something about them, and there's like this, they're compatible, but you don't think they're compatible, but they are compatible. There's life, there's chemistry. It's beautiful. And let me also say this, when compatibility, we've got to avoid being, what I say, relational mystics. You know, I was walking along the road, and there was this lightning bolt. And I turned around, and there was this woman. And she was strolling along the road. And she went past this window, and the lightning, right next to the letter W. And I thought, W stands for woman. This must be the one. So I strolled up to her and I asked, I know this is going to be awkward, but what's your name? And she said, Wanda. Was it her name or was she saying, Wanda? And I said, I think we should get married. And they got married. And they've been wondering ever since. Hey? I'll be honest. There are very, very few relationships that work like that. The worst one is, God told me that is terrible. Shame on you. Especially when you've got your big King James Version Bible under your arm. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just keep it real. Six things. When it comes to compatibility, number one, do you enjoy this person's company? It's either yes or no. It's not like I'm working on it. It's like you meet someone who knows how to drink vodka, Russian vodka, and they give you vodka. I've never done this. And they say, if you keep drinking, you'll eventually enjoy the flavor. It's the same principle. You either do enjoy vodka or you don't. You either do enjoy the person's company or you don't. Here's another one. This is a hard one for guys. Are you sexually attracted to this person? I don't think you can pursue a life of intimacy and marriage if you're not sexually attracted to the person. And you can't keep saying, but they've got such a brilliant mind. Yeah, that's going to help. Especially when I talk about how messed up the mind is. You know? Third one is, are you good friends? Can you be best friends? If you can't be best friends, the chances are you're not as compatible as you think. While all this is going on, all those internal things are happening. You know what we do? We ignore the internal voices and we go, hey, this oak is so hot. This lady is like sizzling. We gotta get married. And it doesn't even last long, you know? And I'm not talking about the sex, the relationship. It's a relationship course, man. Come on. But that's the last session. I'm jumping the gun. The fourth thing is, do you have common values? So here's the thing. We've just done this thing. This little exercise. Before you get engaged, ask this question. Can you tell me about your values? They go, oh, come on, man. Then tell them to leave. Seriously. You don't even know what's going on if we don't know what their values are. You know? Fourth one is, do you communicate well? Can you talk? Are you talking? No, it's growing. Warts grow on your head. You know what I mean? Give it enough time. And then here's a very important one. Can you be completely accepting of this person? Complete acceptance. Total acceptance. Can you do that? Don't worry about anyone else. Like, you know, your parents want them to wear shoes. They don't wear shoes. Your parent doesn't want them to walk around the house like they do. You know, you don't mind if the underrods are like spinning on the fan. You don't mind that sort of stuff. You think it's amazing. It's like, hey, this is a cool guy. Can you accept that? Let me just add a little T's and C's apply here. Eventually, the underpants thing will get to you. Eventually, the towel thing will get to you. Truth is, life and relationships can be challenging. It's true. And this is why I believe there's so much relational stress. Our wheel is out of shape. Our wheel is bad. We're wrong at the center. Our inner life needs work. Our values different. We're too self-centered. And we're just not compatible. So my suggestion is talk through with each other and always be kind and always be honest.